Good morning. My name is Anish Chandak, and I'll be presenting our work on adaptive frustum tracing for interactive sound propagation. This work was done in collaboration with Christian Lauterbach, Micah Taylor, Jimmy Nguyen, and Dinesh Manochai at UNC Chapel Hill. The goal of my talk is to convince the audience that sound rendering is extremely important. And given how powerful today's CPUs and GPUs are, we can run a lot of other simulations in conjunction with interactive visualization to make them better. In this talk, I'll mainly talk about a very important component of sound rendering, that is sound propagation. So what is sound propagation? We can define sound propagation as given scene geometry, a sound source, and a listener. It finds all the path that reaches from source to the listener. Sound propagation gives an impression of the space surrounding source and the listener. To put it into a context, consider a data exploration problem where the scene geometry could come from certain simulation and source and listener are probes which are exploring the data. Further, each path that reaches listener has a 3D direction which gives you the direction of the sound source. It has many applications. One of the applications is advanced interfaces. Consider this snapshot from movie Minority Report, where the user is working on a kind of a 180-degree cylindrical interface. It's not always possible to see everything happening in different parts of the screen which are not visible. In such a case, auditory cues can trigger events on the parts which are not visible and alert the user, which can make for better interfaces. Similarly, in multisensory visualization, sound propagation can be used. It's well known that our bandwidth of processing data in one modality is limited. We can increase how much data we can process by using multisensory techniques. Other applications include games and VR training, where sound propagation is not only important for immersive experience in games, but it's also important sometimes for realistic training. So why not just include it in interactive applications and visualization? Well, it's computationally expensive to include such simulations. Sound is extremely tough problem in the sense that sound moves at a slower speed, and which makes it a time-dependent phenomena. Further, diffraction in sound is much more commonplace than, let's say, light. And you have to simulate at least up to few orders of reflection of sound to get any realistic results. So can we solve sound propagation problem? Well, a lot of work has been done in the past 5 or 6 decades to solve the sound propagation problem. Some of the solutions include numerical solutions. What they do is they solve the wave equation of sound. Other solutions include geometric solutions. Image source is a very popular geometric solution. What they do is, given a source, they create image sources upon every reflection. And these virtual sources or image sources further create more image sources on reflection. It's easy to see that the complexity of the number of image sources increase exponentially as a function of order of reflection and the number of surfaces in the scene. But this is not good enough for interactive applications. Interactive applications demand very high frame rates. Well, there's been work done there too. Some of the techniques that can render high frame rates are some of the volumetric methods. One of the very popular methods is beam tracing, introduced by Funkhauser et al. In 1998, SIGGRAPH. What they do is they shoot what's called volumes, called beams, into the scene, and then they intersect these volumes with the scene geometry and exactly clip exact intersection with the scene geometry of these beams and construct what's called beam tree in an expensive pre-processing step. This beam tree can be used then in real-time applications when the listener moves in the scene. Similarly, there are particle-based methods where sound particles are traced into the scene and are stored in a data structures in an expensive pre-processing step. And at real time, when the listener moves, these particles are collected at the listener. This approach was introduced by Bertram et al. In WIS 2005. Well, all the techniques I just mentioned are strictly restricted to static scene geometries, specifically static sound source positions. But many applications are dynamic in nature. We are seeing geometry is moving, and a lot of times the sound source is moving. Some of the work that's been done to handle such cases is ray tracing-based methods. Interactive and dynamic ray tracing has advanced a lot in ray tracing in visual rendering. And a method was introduced called uniform frustum tracing last year at WIS, in which a volume is sampled, and when similarly like beam tracing, volumes are shot from the source, but when intersection of these volumes is done with the scene geometry, intersection with the samples inside the volume is performed. So in that sense, there could be slight errors based on how much sampling is used inside a volume. Most of the applications, visualization applications, work like, there are a lot of components in there. For example, AI, physics, sound, all of them have certain time budgets of their own. So you have to make sure that your simulation runs within time budget. Further, given how more and more many core architectures are coming, whatever sound propagation algorithm you use, it should scale well with number of cores. So in this talk, I'm going to present adaptive frustum tracing. Most of our simulations, we were able to run from 3 to 15 frames per second. We were able to handle dynamic scene geometry, sources, and listener. Importantly, it adapts to the time budget of the simulation. And now I'm going to introduce what's called acoustic importance of an object. Depending on how much effect an object has in the acoustics of a scene, you can adapt to that too. And importantly, our algorithm scales linearly with number of cores. So one question you might ask, why use adaptive? One of the important reasons is adaptive methods can capture local errors. And in our case, it can also capture object acoustic importance. Consider this figure. Figure A is a beam tracing solution. Figure B is a volume sampling approach with low sampling. See how there is error. When you introduce the sampling, when you increase the sampling, the number of samples increase globally, which leads to a huge increase in computation. But for adaptive methods, the primitives increase only in the region of error. So this is a quick overview of our algorithm. Input is scene geometry, source, and a listener. We start by shooting what we call adaptive frustum into the scene. These frustum are then traced through the scene geometry, and depending upon how much error are you allowing, it intersects with the scene geometry, and then reflections are performed and reflection frusta are created. For each of the frustum, we query whether the listener is inside the frustum or not. If it is inside the frustum, then we register that frustum and use it later to produce our final audio. So what is adaptive frustum? Adaptive frustum is a combination of frustum and a quadtree. A frustum is a convex combination of four rays. What you see on the lower right is a frustum and a quadtree associated with it. A quadtree can store many parameters. It represents how a frustum is subdivided, the depth of its corner rays, and other data to run our algorithm. And one important thing is each frustum or its sub-frustum can have different colors in the node, and if it's green, it means it does not intersect with any scene geometry. If it's golden, it means it lies completely inside a primitive. For example, it could be completely inside a triangle. And white means partial, and we would have to do more subdivision to resolve the intersection status. So we start with shooting primary frustra into the scene. We shoot them in kind of a quasi-uniform way. This quasi-uniform sampling was introduced by Ronchi et al. And one important feature is that it avoids any singularities and any thin frusta that we might construct due to non-uniform sampling. Once we have shot our primary frusta, we need to trace them through the scene hierarchy. This is one of the most important component of our algorithm, where we are able to handle dynamic scenes. And most of this we have borrowed from ray tracing literature, which can handle dynamic scenes very well. What they do is use bounding volume hierarchies of axis-aligned bounding boxes. We use the algorithms by Reshetov et al. To intersect our frustum with a bounding volume hierarchy. What that gives, as you see on the bottom, is a list of potentially intersecting triangles. One important point to note here is that these triangles are not in any visibility order. So the next important task is to find the visibility order of these triangles from the point of origin of the frustum. The way we do it is we represent the corner rays as well as the triangles in Plucker coordinates. It's very easy to check using Plucker coordinates whether the frustum lies completely inside a primitive or it's completely outside, or you can decide. In this step, the depth and the intersection status of various frusta are updated to denote what's the visibility order of each frustum. For example, consider these two triangles. Let's say blue triangle was encountered first, and then the red triangle is encountered. Clearly, since red triangle is in front of the blue triangle, the depth of the frustum corners are updated according. But sometimes it's not always possible to resolve it at a parent level. Therefore, we subdivide it and resolve this thing at the child nodes. One thing I would like to emphasize here is, depending on how much subdivision depth you want, the error would be less and less. And this subdivision depth could be dependent upon how much error you are allowing, you are willing to allow in your simulation. Once you have done this step, you have essentially computed the visibility order. Now we can create diffraction and reflection frustum. To create reflection frustum, it's as simple as taking the four corner rays and specularly reflecting them. And we perform all the steps that we did so far on reflection frustum. However, doing diffraction is trickier. In a pre-processing step, which takes very small time, we pre-compute diffraction edges in the scene. And for each leaf frustum, we query whether a diffraction edge exists in that leaf node. If it does, we clip the frustum as shown on the far right of the figure. We clip the frustum against the diffraction edge and construct a diffraction frustum according to uniform theory of diffraction. For more details, I will refer to a technical report by Taylor et al. Once we have completed our sound propagation algorithm, it's important that we can play the audio. The way that works is we construct an impulse response from a path for every source listener pair. Given this impulse response, we convolve this impulse response with dry input audio signal to produce the spatialized specialized final output. Sanwad and Savager propose that these dynamic IRs should be updated about 10 to 20 frames per second. This is a very high frame rate. And though our simulation can run very fast, but some of our complex models still run at only 2 to 4 frames per second. Therefore, some of our rendering has been done offline. These are some of our results. Our most complex results is roughly 1.5 million triangles, and the simplest ones are a few hundred triangles. We were able to get 2 frames per second of simulation on a complex model like Sibenik Cathedral, and some of the simple models like theater, we were able to run at 30 to 40 frames per second. These are our scaling numbers. Our algorithm scales almost linearly with the number of cores. This is for 7 cores on different benchmarks, but we were able to run tests on up to 24 cores. And since a lot of our infrastructure is based on ray tracing, we are hopeful that it would scale to much larger number of cores linearly. Okay, these are some videos. This is the Cathedral benchmark. It has 70,000 triangles, and we perform up to 4 orders of reflection. What you're seeing here is the paths of the listener and source, both, as I mentioned before, source and listener as well as geometry is allowed to move. This is the dry input audio. Mark is a dynamic city scene in which it's a fairly open scene, and there we have moving cars as our dynamic scene geometry. Again, here, what you're seeing are the paths taken by listener. There are two sound sources. One is a moving car, another is a static person. This is just the input audio for the sound sources.
Can't touch this.
I think it goes a little longer.
Stumped? No, I will attempt to jump and keep moving. Did you question the person when you bought that shirt?
What you're seeing on the far right lower corner are the paths taken by. You can hear the sound source in the alley mainly because of a lot of reflections. Even though the order of reflections are very few, but a lot of sound diffracts around the large edges of the buildings.
No, I don't get stumped. I just find out. Did I attack you? Yes. Was that unnecessary?
Yes.
Am I wearing a t-shirt that I shouldn't wear at my age?
Yes.
Do I have arm warmers on my hands?
Yes.
Am I wearing a watch that looks a little gay?
Yes.
Okay, this was a scenario in which there was moving scene geometry. Here we here in a soda hall scene, which is extremely complex, up to 5 million triangles, we dynamically changed the scene geometry and in this simulation the rendering is real time.
As a separate enterprise, today it has come to the point where probably most of the people doing design in most fields are not able with their own hands to make the things they're designing. They don't have the experience of having done the fabrication. If we look back at the mechanical inventors of the 19th century, most of those either could go into shop and make the thing they're designing, or they had been through apprenticeships in those arts and really understood how you make things. And so this is a disconnect that has occurred due to
These are some of our results. As there's this error parameter, depending upon how much error you're allowing in your algorithm, the subdivision of frustum is decided. We compare our results with the accurate CAT acoustic software, which has emit source implemented in it, which is an accurate geometric sound simulation. On the bottom are our IRs with increasing subdivision. As we increase the subdivision, our results become better and better. Some of the limitations of our approach include we cannot handle glossy or diffuse reflection at the moment. Our simulations are limited to point sound sources. Audio rendering's been done offline, and our diffraction calculations are done using UTD, Uniform Theory of Diffraction, which is limited only to very long edges. As a future work, we would like to implement interactive artifact-free rendering. Another thing is we want to reduce the number of frusta we traced. Currently, the number of frusta that contribute or reach the listener are less than 1 or 2% of the total number of frustum traced. So there's a huge opportunity to reduce the number of frustums, and we would like to explore some frustum culling techniques. Also, we would like to do a much better analysis of our diffraction and implement what's called a Bayer-Tolsky-Medvin theory for doing diffraction, which can handle small or short edges. And a lot of gamers and game designers we talked to said you're using way too complex geometry for doing acoustic simulation. So one of our goals is to take the complex visual geometry and automatically simplify it so that it does not affect a lot the acoustic simulation, but it is much faster. In conclusion, I presented fastest geometric sound propagation algorithm. It balances accuracy with the time budget easily, and it performs efficient diffraction using Uniform Theory of Diffraction, and it reduces the gap between interactive sound rendering and interactive visual rendering. Hopefully, we'll have more and more systems using interactive sound rendering in the near future. Thank you so much. And
accurate were you like to keep
There are two paths to this. So we are a geometric approach. An accurate simulation would be numerical, which computes maybe up to 100 or 200 orders of reflection. But typically in audio simulation, there is direct contribution, there is what's called early reflection, and then there is what's called late reverberation. So the late reverberation has been, some people claim, we haven't definitely tested it, that if you compute it statistically or just compute it once, it's enough. The most important component is that middle part where you have to compute 5 to 10 orders of reflection. So we haven't exactly computed with a numerical approach, but that would be a good thing to do. We might not want to compare like IRs, but we definitely want to compare perceptually because that's what matters the most. But as far as just the geometric simulation concerns, we have compared it with an accurate image source method. So, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.